On. I turn. All right, well, as they're getting their seats, a teacher said, "Craig, you know you can't sleep in my class." Craig said, "I know, but maybe if you were just a little quieter, I could." I don't know if that was Craig O'Hare or not, but kid comes home from school on the first day, and the mom asks, "What'd you learn today?" "Not enough. Got to go back tomorrow." Teacher says, "Billy, your essay entitled, 'My Dog,' is exactly the same as your brother's. Did you copy it?" "No, Mrs. White. It's the same dog." Teacher said to the student going through over the roll, said, "You missed school yesterday, didn't you?" Student, "Not very much." Teacher said, I hope I didn't see you looking at Maria's exam." "I sure hope you didn't either." All right, just a few little education funnies. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter number 4. Challenge to come up with a PTF sermon talking about education. Sometimes it ends up being just about raising children. I tried to do education. Of course, it all does involve raising children. And so the title of the message tonight is Attitudes in the Classroom. Attitudes in the classroom. And by the way, there are attitudes in the classroom. Some of them are good. Some of them are bad. So we're going to look at some of these here as we go along. In Proverbs chapter number 4, we'll begin here in verse number 5. It says, "Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee." That means guard thee. You know, you'll have a good life if you get wisdom. Then verse 7, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." So we're going to have a word of prayer, and then we'll see what the Lord has for us tonight. Father, we do thank you for your word, the truth. Lord, I just ask, Lord, as there's a whole lot to cover here. There's a whole lot to learn and discuss about this idea of having the right attitude, how to overcome the wrong attitudes. Lord, I just pray you help me to emphasize what needs to be emphasized, and I pray that it'll be helpful to parents, students, and teachers. Lord, we have all three here in the building, and I ask that we can just, by your grace, use your word and speak to our hearts, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Not much learning happens in the classroom when a child has a sour attitude. Have you ever seen a child in the classroom? Maybe it was you, or maybe it was someone else who just didn't have the right attitude. Not a whole lot's going into the old noggin up there. The old adage is that attitude is everything. It might not be everything. And we know some people who have good attitudes come to school and they don't get good grades. But it does help. It might not be everything, but it sure is important. Winston Churchill said about attitude, "Attitude is a little thing that makes a big difference." Thomas Jefferson said, "Nothing can stop the man with the right mental attitude from achieving his goal. Nothing on earth can help the man with the wrong mental attitude." You're not going to help someone very much. You're not going to help learning if someone comes into the classroom, into school, and they just sitting there with their arms folded like, "I ain't going to learn nothing." And they put their head down on the desk or whatever they're going to do. They just come in, "I'm not going to learn. You can't teach me." You're right. We can't teach you. And they're only hurting themselves. You and I know that. They don't know that. They think they're, you know, "Man, I won because I didn't learn anything today." Yeah, you really are a winner. So I want to consider, really, I don't have time to get through all what I have prepared, but we want to consider some typical attitudes about learning. If there's time, then we may touch on some of the results of those attitudes. And really, if time just really gets, you know, compressed here and stretched out, however you want to look at it, then we'll look at the how to develop the right kind of attitude in our children toward learning. So, first of all, number one, what are typical attitudes? Well, you know. Well, let's look at some here. And first of all, we'll cover the wrong kind of attitudes. The first one, I would say, is this, that of being haughty or proud. Okay, that idea of having, you know, proud attitude is gonna put your ideas ahead of God's ideas. You think you know better than God, and you don't want and don't need to listen to what's being taught because you know better. Well, really, you don't. The ungodly of this world, you know, they're not opposed to education. Just turn on the news. They're always talking about, give us more money for education. And it's not that they're against education. They want education. It's just a different kind of education. Even the Bible describes that there's going to be a thirst for knowledge by those who are living in the end times. The scripture says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7, it talks about these people who are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You see, they desire knowledge, but they don't desire the truth. There's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. Okay, knowledge is just a bunch of facts. It focuses on information. But wisdom provides the ability to properly apply that information. Wisdom focuses on God because the information is seen in light of the Bible. So you can have a bunch of knowledge. That doesn't give you wisdom. You can have knowledge without wisdom, but you're not going to have wisdom without knowledge. So you've got to have some knowledge. I'm not against knowledge. You've got to have some knowledge. I think it was Gresham Machen that said you can't think with an empty head. You've got to have something in there to be able to think. So it's okay. You've got to learn the facts. I don't want to learn the facts. You've got to learn the facts. You've got to learn facts. This might be boring, but you got to learn them. You've got to get something in there. So I'm not opposed to learning facts. I'm not opposed to knowledge. We need it. Well, the world will only focus on knowledge and they won't focus on wisdom because wisdom now is properly applying that and seeking the truth and basing all of life's decisions on the Word of God. That's really different. That's a different thing. And so we have in our secular society, we have people that they're trying to teach truth without God's Word. That's haughtiness. That's the wrong kind of attitude in the classroom. And, you know, just as Jesus taught in the Scripture, He said that the Scripture is truth. He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And they that think that they're going to serve all of the earth's problems with technology, and that's what these, you know, a lot of these big, you know, tech gurus are saying, you know, we can fix all of the problems of the world with our technology and with our knowledge. You're not going to do that. We need God. You can't exclude God. It's pride. It's arrogance. And it's the wrong kind of attitude. And that permeates our secular learning institutions. It's just so filled with self and so filled with humanism, so focused on man, and it neglects God. That's haughtiness. It's pride. It's not the right kind of attitude to have in education, in any classroom. I'm thankful we've got a Christian school because we do include God. And we don't just include Him. We talk about Him. And we try to apply the truths of Scripture to people's lives. But in Christian schools, you know, there's still some haughtiness to go on in the classroom too. And not necessarily on the end of the teacher, but students who have no heart to obey God and no heart to follow the Word of God, they reject truth. They're haughty. Students living a sinful life, they never have the right attitude toward learning. And unfortunately, a haughty attitude sometimes prevails just as much in a Christian school because of the attitude of the student as it does sometimes in a public school or a secular school where there is not a focus on God and His Word. You know, really, we have students that come to the school who think they know better than God. They know it all. They know more than their parents. Parents say something, they're not going to listen to their parents. They're not going to listen to the teachers. They're not going to listen to the authorities. They know it all. And no one's going to tell them how to live. No one's going to tell them what to believe. And they've got their chip on their shoulder. They've got their little attitude they're going to take through life. And Proverbs 18:12 says, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. They're heading for destruction. It's a wrong attitude to have in the classroom. Now, can the ungodly gain a lot of knowledge? Sure they can. Even the ungodly people can. However, that can lead to pride too, because God's excluded. What did the Bible say in 1 Corinthians 8:1? Knowledge puffeth up. So you can get a big head and think, well, I know everything, man. I know it all. And people often get overconfident because of the knowledge that they think they have. And some people aren't very teachable because they think they know everything. And we even get that in college sometimes. You know, and it's sad. It's really sad. The ungodly cries for more knowledge, sure, but they don't long for wisdom. The Bible says the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts. So it's wicked to exclude God from learning. And the rebel in the classroom, even in the Christian school, he's going to fail to learn a whole lot. And he's not going to learn much. It's really going to truly help him and others because he doesn't have the right attitude, doesn't have a heart for it. And that goes along to the second point. So we see one of the first wrong attitudes is just being haughty. The second one is being heartless. And let me say, what do you mean heartless? Well, Proverbs 17:16, listen, it says, wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he hath no heart? To it. He has got no heart for wisdom. Many students are just that way. They have no heart for what's being taught. They just kind of go in, they sit down, they plop themselves down in the classroom. It's like, okay, I'll take only the notes I have to take. You know, it's like they go to sleep, and when they hear point number two, that they wake up and they write it down, and then they switch their mind off. They're, you know, daydreaming, they're, whatever they're doing. No heart to learn anything. What does the Bible say about that person? Wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he hath no heart to it? What kind of person has no heart to learn? A fool. That's what the Bible says. A fool has no heart for wisdom. He doesn't want to pay attention to the truth. Does that describe your child? So I don't know, I'm not in the classroom. Come on, let's just think about it. Your children, my children, they have the same attitude toward learning whether in school or in church or at home. If your child doesn't pay attention in family devotions, let me guess, let me help you not guess. Let me tell you, they don't pay attention in church and they don't pay attention in school. And you're not working on that attitude of learning at home. How do you think it's going to change just because you send them off to school and say, you get good grades, you study hard, whoa, 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 whoa. You're not helping anything. And so our children are going to have the same attitude. And the one who doesn't pay attention to school is not going to pay attention anywhere else. Pay attention, parents, when you're having family devotions, when you're giving instructions. And then you've given instructions and nothing happens and you come back and say, why didn't you do this? Well, I didn't hear you. No, they were not paying attention. They had a wrong attitude. They were heartless. They had no heart for it. That's a problem. Some children just simply have no heart for the truth. They're apathetic towards the Word of God, apathetic towards knowledge and towards wisdom and towards understanding. We've got to have knowledge. I understand that. But we've got to have wisdom. And for the Christian, we've got to have a heart for knowledge and wisdom. If you're child lacks a desire, it indicates that there is a spiritual problem. There's something wrong there. The Bible says in Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. That word despise means to neglect as unworthy of your consideration. It means to disregard. And so the Bible says a fool totally disregards, has no heart for it. He's not concerned about what the teacher is up there trying to say, trying to impart wisdom and understanding and how to apply the facts to life. There's a problem. It's a spiritual problem. And only that, but what kind of a person disregards this wisdom and instruction? The Bible says fools do that. I wonder how many fools we have that walk in and sit down in the classrooms every day. Absolutely no heart. Totally disregard what that teacher has to say. The only thing on their mind is what they got going on later that day. Or writing a note to somebody. Or you know, making hand motions or something like that across the room. All I'm trying to say is we've got to make sure that we've got a heart for the Word of God. And got a heart for wisdom. And got a heart for learning. We can have the best school with the best teachers and the best curriculum. We've got to have the right attitude or nothing happens. And you can't just send them to school and think that they're going to have the right attitude. You parents, me as a parent, it's our job to make sure there's a right attitude. Parents, we can't allow our children to become fools and just despise and just disregard and just think that whatever the teacher's got to say is it's unworthy. I remember one time, you know, one of the college classes that I've taught in years gone by, you know, I give my points, and then I think I wax eloquent. I really don't. But I'm up there. I'm trying to explain it and illustrate it and give some meaning to it. And then, you know, of course, I give the test. And then someone says, you know, I didn't, that wasn't in my notes. Well, I said, it was in mine. I said, you know, I gave you a point and I gave you a long explanation. Here, quote, this is what the student said. I thought you were just talking. I was talking to you. Trying to give you some understanding, trying to give you some wisdom. But what had happened, they just, oh no, that's not number three or four or point letter A or whatever. So just tune, you are right. They totally disregard what's going on. Students, it's not whether you get an A or a B. It's whether you've applied your heart to wisdom. Whether you've got a heart to know God and His Word and truth. Children, if you don't have a heart for learning, you know what you need to do? You need to confess that as sin to God and then ask God to change your heart because He will. He'll help you. A wrong attitude really also affects the ears. There's a connection between the heart and the ears. The Bible says in Proverbs 2:2, it says, incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. You see, there's a connection. The ears and the heart. You need to have both working. And if someone's got their ears tuned out, this isn't tuned in. They got to work together. So those are the wrong attitudes. Now let's look at some of the right attitudes. So the wrong attitudes are being haughty and heartless. You're just proud. You think you know everything. And you don't. You have no heart. You despise, you disregard the teaching. That's a problem. And that's unfortunately prevails in a lot of students' lives. Now let's look at some right attitudes. What's the right attitude that we should all have? Not just students in the classroom, but when us adults come to church or whatever. What are some attitudes we ought to have? Well, number one, I think it ought to be humble. That's kind of the opposite of being haughty, right? Solomon wanted to spare his son a lot of trouble in life. And many times you see in Scripture, he says, my son, my son. Well, when you get to Proverbs chapter 5, and you read Proverbs chapter 5, he's really going in great detail and giving a lot of warnings about the pitfalls and the heartaches that would be caused by yielding to the strange woman. He doesn't want his son to ruin his life. That's a good you know, that's a good attitude to have as a dad, right? And you'd think that when the dad says, hey, I got something to talk to you about, this is important, you would think that the children would just kind of listen. But so often children think, well, I got this under control. Yeah, right, well, whatever, dad. Listen, by the way, this is totally bonus here. Young people, when your parents try to put some safeguards into your life to try to prevent you from going off into immorality and sexual sins and getting yourselves in trouble, you ought to be so happy. And a fool despises the wisdom instructions that are given by their parents. As a bonus, by the way. So we're in Proverbs chapter 5. In verse number 1, it kind of sets the stage. I'll just read the verse to you for this great lesson of life that Solomon is going to give to a son. He says, my son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding. That's being humble. That idea of attend means to listen, but that word bow means submission, submitting, bowing your ear, humbling yourself, meaning I don't know everything. Solomon says, I know what I'm talking about here. I want to tell you something. You better listen up and you better bow your understanding. You better bow your heart. You better bow your ears. You better submit and you better humble yourself and take this in because this is going to help you. That's the attitude we ought to have. One who will learn must listen to authority, and he must have a humble spirit. Let me ask you then, students, how do you attend class with that humble heart? Do you go to school? Do you go to family devotions? Do you go to church with a humble heart saying, what do you have for me? Can you picture bowing and bowing your heart? I'm not saying you bow down and worship the teachers. There might be a couple of teachers that might want you to do that, but hopefully not in our school. We ought to set aside our stubborn, know-it-all attitudes and receive what God's leaders have to teach us, especially, obviously, when it comes to the way of truth. Now, as we saw earlier, pride and haughtiness are going to hinder our learning. James chapter 4 says, verse 6, God resisteth who? The proud. And he giveth grace to the humble. And as I mentioned earlier, this even applies to college students. Don't go into class thinking you know everything, trying to prove the teacher wrong. Trying to prove the teacher wrong as you sit next to your little friends in class and you... I don't agree with this, and you know, they don't know what they're talking about. No, they don't know what they're talking about. They've only been at it for 20-something years. They've lived it. They've studied it. And you barely got out of high school, and you're going to set the world straight because you know everything. No, you don't. That's bonus also, by the way. Be humble. And bow thine ears, what the scripture says. So, what are the right attitudes? Be humble, but then secondly, be hungry. Humble and hungry. Being hungry is the opposite of having no heart to learn. Notice what happens when a student is hungry to learn. The Bible says in Proverbs 9:9, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. In other words, hungry people will be filled with wisdom. Their learning will increase, and we provide a Christian education, and it's one that bases truth on the Bible. And the devil knows that he doesn't want people to grow in the Word of God. He doesn't want people to learn God's Word, and so he seeks to prevent truth from getting to people's hearts. So what does he do? He gives young people an appetite for something else. An appetite for the world. An appetite for ungodliness. And the Bible says, blessed, in Matthew 5, 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And if those who hunger after righteousness are blessed, that means happy, we hunger for the good things, the Bible says you'll be happy, then what would we say about those who don't hunger after righteousness? They're not blessed. What's not blessed mean? They're not happy. What does that mean? They're miserable. they're miserable. They come into class, they bounce around, and they probably don't get really good grades. They don't get as good a grades as they could should get. They're not happy. They're miserable. You ever walk down the hallways and you see some students, they're just, it's like attitude written all over their face. Happy? No. Hungry for the word? Hungry for the world. There's no happiness. Listen, we don't want you to have a miserable life. You know, the reason that we might we try so hard to correct bad attitudes, young people, is because we want you to be happy. We know what's coming. And we know that if you have the right attitude towards God and His Word and learning, that you will be happy, you will be blessed. That's what we want for you. Stop feeding on the world and begin partaking of the truth. You know, as a 12-year-old boy, Jesus had a desire to learn. The Bible says in Luke 2:46, it came to pass that after 3 days they found him, that's Jesus, in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Now listen, if you're asking questions, you probably are willing to bow your ear and receive some answers. See, he's got his hunger. He's asking. He's got this submission. He's got this lowly, humble attitude. He's wanting to hear answers. How often do you ask a question in class? Because you really want to know something. That might indicate how much hunger you actually have for the subject being discussed. You know, as God, Jesus knew everything, but at times he set some of that omniscience aside just so he could identify with humanity. As a perfect human, he wanted to learn. He was a God-man. And so what does that say? Without sin, he wanted to learn. That shows, to me, a distaste for learning then really is a description of man's depravity. Spiritual people want to learn. And obviously, there's going to be more interest in some subjects than others. I mean, we all have different aptitudes and tastes for things. You know, there are actually some people who like math. You know, go figure. Get it? Math, go figure. Oh, yeah. But overall, we should be hungry to learn more and to get better at things and to improve our usefulness. Sometimes we have to learn things that we don't like just so we can achieve our goals or we can help other people. Sometimes you just have to do that. You don't want to do it, but you know it's the best thing that's going to happen. So, to review, the wrong attitude about learning is to be haughty and heartless. The right attitude would be to be humble and hungry. How is your attitude when it comes to learning? Now, I've got a few minutes left, and I'm just a little over halfway done. So, let's skip some of that. Let's go to this one. What is needed to develop right attitudes? Okay, so maybe as a teacher, as a parent, or whatever, here's a couple of thoughts. You know, how do you get children to have a right attitude towards learning? Well, there's a few things, three things I have that are, I think that would be helpful if we want to develop it. First one is this, exhortation. You need to have some, you need to encourage young people to get wisdom. Of course, we read, our text said, you know, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, right? We're challenging them to get it. We need to encourage them to do so. If no one ever pushes you to do something, you probably won't do it. And so teachers, it falls on us to try to challenge people to learn more and to set aside their heartless spirit. And teachers who are able to encourage their students usually have an easier time of getting them to listen, right? You can run a classroom like a dictator. And you might get the students to conform to your rules, but you might not reach their heart. They might be just doing a few things to get you off their back. Can I say something? As parents, as leaders, as educators, whatever, it's okay to compliment and congratulate children at times. Say, really? Yeah, they did something good. You can say, hey, that was pretty good. Wow, that was nice. You say, well, they might get a big head. Well, you know, the last time I checked the Bible, it does say in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, that charity suffereth long and is kind. Well, that means to people. These are just children. It's okay to be kind and to acknowledge when they've done something right. And by the way, you acknowledge when they've done something right, they might want to do it again. Help them taste success. This can instill some confidence in them and create a desire to learn more and even do better. And we need to show our children the advantages of hard work. And we need to look for everyday opportunities and point out, you know, reasons why we ought to study and expand our knowledge. You know, some kid might want to be a doctor, an engineer, a nurse, or whatever it is, a veterinarian. All of that requires a lot of training. So you want to be something in life? You want to do something in life? You want to fulfill your goals and dreams? You want to be a help to people? Learn! And you can challenge them. You can encourage them and teach them to have the right attitude toward learning. And if you do, that'll help them. Tell them this will help you fulfill your dreams and at least God's plan for your life, more importantly. So there needs to be some exhortation. Then secondly, there needs to be some expectation. While children need encouragement to learn, they also have some character problems. So you can't just encourage them. You can't just be a cheerleader in the classroom. Oh, good, just keep going, you know. No, you need to be a disciplinarian, too. You need to correct them. That's the idea of discipline, is correcting. You know, I know in modern, educational systems, you don't tell people they're wrong. That could hurt their self-esteem. No, they're wrong. If you don't tell them they're wrong, they're going to continue being wrong. Well, they'll figure it out. Well, how long do you want them to be wrong before they figure it out? When they're in jail? When they don't pass the SAT? Or when they don't get into a college? How long do you want? It's ridiculousness. You're not going to get a proper attitude without correcting improper attitudes. The Bible still says in Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom. Right? Two things give wisdom, the rod and reproof. You've got to correct them verbally. Yes, that's reproof. Talk to them, say, hey, you're wrong. Change this, do this, whatever. You have to have some expectation. And there are times when they don't want to do what they're supposed to do, and they've got a rotten attitude, and they've got a rebellious attitude, and they've got a defiant attitude, then you may have to step in there and do something else, you know? You might have to apply the Board of Education on the seat of whatever. Too many children are allowed just to have a meltdown. I can't do it. Or throw fits. No, those things have to be corrected. You can't just let them scream and cry and pout and have their way. This starts even before they go to school. Tell them to stop, and if they don't, you discipline them. It's disobedience. You're not helping them by allowing them just to continue in their rebellious, defiant attitude. Then the last part, as I told you, there's three things that'll help us to be able to get our children to have the right attitude. There's exhortation. We need to encourage them. And then some expectation. We need to inspect what we expect. And we need to correct when they're wrong. And then, but last one is exemplification. That means be an example. You got to be an example. Timothy was a teacher of the truth, and Paul told him one way to be effective was to be an example. And one area in particular was to exemplify a good attitude. He said, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit. That's the attitude. Have a good attitude. You know, whoever is wishing and hoping and wanting to instruct others, whether it's at home, in school or in church, you've got to be excited about what you're teaching. You just can't expect that they're going to be excited if you're not excited. All right, students, I know we all hate science. I hate it too, but open up the page to whatever this is and let's just get through this thing. You know? And they're like, yeah, man, I hate it too. Yeah, man. And you wonder where they get that attitude, right? No, we got to love it. We got to be excited and we need to be prepared and we need to be enthusiastic. I remember when I took an electronics course, I studied electrical engineering technology. Now, just the course. Now, I'm sorry, maybe Brother Schreiber's thinking, oh, that sounds great. An electronics course, like circuitry. It's like, really? That's exciting? But this guy, I mean, he was a phenomenal teacher. He came in and he was just all excited. I just don't know how you get excited about it, but he was. Maybe he knew that we weren't excited, but he just got all excited about it, and he made me want to learn electronic circuitry. He made me pay attention. Why? Because he liked it, and he was excited about it. Listen, when I get in the classroom, if I'm a deadbeat, and I don't seem like I care about anything, I am doing a disservice to my students. When I have family devotions, I better believe what I'm teaching. When I'm preaching, I better believe. I better put my heart into it. Listen, if you want people to pay attention, give them something to pay attention to. Be an example. You need to love knowledge. You need to love learning. You need to read books. You need to be better in yourself. Listen, the older I get, the more I realize I have less time to affect people. I have less time to make a difference in this life. Man, I'm reading more. I'm studying more. I'm trying to hone in on this more. And I'm not letting up. All of us who teach should ask if we truly inspire others to learn by our love for what we're teaching. We need to be a good example. And if we do, we can capture their heart. Solomon said in Proverbs 23:26, my son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. See, when they're following your example, it's a sign you've got their heart. And we need to maintain a good example. And if we do, we can continue to influence their lives. Give them a good example. Encourage them. And expect something out of them. That can help change their attitudes. Let's pray.